Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show, where we share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, TV seen, heard, or read what we did, and what we do. You know, Stuff and Junk. Hello, my name is Albert. I am currently at the Anaheim Convention Center for WonderCon 2024. I do have a guest with me, but before we get there, I'll introduce you, or I'll cut away to the other guests of the interview that I did this morning with David Glancer. So here we go, my yearly interview with David. All right, it's WonderCon 2024, so you know what that means? I'm here with David, Chief Communication Officer. Wait, what?
Chief Communications Strategy Officer, but you know, you can just call me David.
Yeah, I keep messing that up for some reason.
Hey, it's a long title. I say my title is bigger than my office.
Although, Chief Communicating Officer, well. So, David, normally I come here and give you the word from the street, what people are saying, if there's any issues or whatever, and quite honestly, it's been a smooth show. I was wondering, like, do I even have any questions to tell David?
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. I think going into the show, we started looking at the weather, a week ago. And for those people who aren't in California, the weather in California this year has really been wonky. Mm-hmm. A lot more rain than we normally get. You know, there's been mudslides and stuff. San Diego had a torrential flood, and a lot of people were displaced. It's just been very crazy, something that we're not used to. So when we saw that the weather might be wet up here, we were a little cautious. We made some contingency plans, but I think it fared well. And I have to be honest with you, people who've been coming through the door seem to be taking it all in stride, and we're very grateful for that.
What contingency plans do you prepare for the rain when you already have everything set up in advance?
Well, so if you've been to WonderCon, you know that a lot of the cosplayers love to, both amateurs and professionals, take pictures out by the fountain.
Right.
For those who haven't been to the Anaheim Convention Center, there's a wonderful fountain area and amphitheater out front, and it's a great place for cosplayers to gather. A lot of people gather there. But we were able to go ahead and repurpose one of the halls here. One of the great things about Anaheim is there is so much space, mm-hmm. so we can expand if we need to. And we made Hall A available for cosplayers to, gather so they didn't have to, be in the rain.
Right.
Also, it ended up, the rain was, it would be a torrential downpour, then it would be dry.
Yes.
Then it would be a little sprinkled and be dry. So I think a lot of the cosplayers and fans in general made good use of the space inside, but also when they could, ran outside and took some pictures too, and it all went well pretty well.
As of right now, this recording, it's not raining, and those said cosplayers are over by the fountain right now taking all those pictures.
It's a little cool this year, but it all seemed to work out well.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. Now, if you actually had programming in the arena and that Hall A was set up for arena, what would you have done instead?
I don't know offhand. I think that, but there are always contingencies. Again, one of the great things about this facility is that there is space to move into or expand to. It's one of the challenges in San Diego, of course, is that we use the entire space.
Yes,
we use
a lot
of outdoor space as well. But, we have hotels too. And while we take up a lot of the meeting rooms in those hotels, there's also some hotel rooms we have that we might be able to repurpose or, move things around. We don't like to do that because it can confuse people, but If it's a necessity, then, we certainly do what it is we can to make the experience, as best it can for everybody.
Now, I was curious if the lobby has any kind of fire marshal code regarding if the cosplayers were to hang out over there.
You want to make sure you don't impede traffic. And that's not just because of regular traffic, but of course, regular traffic is important too. But, you have to look at everything under the eye of if there's an emergency. So as an example, a lot of people like to take pictures on stairs because it's tiered.
Right.
But if there's an emergency, that's a potential exit thoroughfare. So you never want to block that. You never want to do stuff in front of doors or things of that nature. So, I'll be honest with you, a lot of the photographers are very, very amenable to moving and stuff like that, if they don't realize, I didn't realize this was in front of a door. And while that sounds like, how could they not? This facility in particular is all glass, and some are just glass panes, some are doors next to those glass panes. So sometimes they can be set up and not even realize that they could be potentially obstructing space. But when they're told to move, they're more than, you know, happy to comply.
And it's kind of funny that we're talking about this hypothetical situation, because so far this year, it was, like I said, pretty smooth. Everything kind of just worked out pretty good for all of us.
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing is, and this is true in San Diego as well, you always try to mitigate any potential issues. Or so if you do see something, it's always nice to be able to tell somebody, hey, just want to let you know, this probably isn't the best place. And again, they're very accommodating. I think one thing that some people may not understand, and we haven't been confronted with this, so we're lucky, but you know, when somebody with security or somebody asks you to move, you know, it's best to comply, because if there is an emergency, if there is a situation, security isn't going to run out screaming, saying, oh my gosh, you know, right, get out of the way. They're going to ask you very nicely to move. So there could be something going on, but you want it to be orderly. You want it to be calm. So, you know, security is going to be calm and orderly too. So it's nice that people comply, and I think they understand that, and everybody wants to have a good time. So we've had no problems, and, you know, knock wood for that. We're very happy.
Right. Now, in terms of actual issues, there were a few that people have mentioned. I will say they're kind of minor, but I thought I'd pass it on to you. Car park one. So as soon as you exit the elevator or the stairs, you have a few feet of space for people to check the email confirmation as well as the badges. And some people said that it gets to the point where it becomes a bottleneck and the line gets too long, and maybe in the future there could be something else they could do about that?
Yeah, this year we extended the perimeter a bit, so we're looking at all of that. I don't know that will be the same case for next year.
Okay.
But we've taken these notes, and we have, you know, our con talk back, so we'll be hearing more about that. And then, as we do with all of our shows, we always have a debrief afterwards, what worked, what didn't necessarily work, what can be improved upon, and I'm sure that's one of the things that we'll discuss.
Now, our badges here are paper-based, essentially. Were there any issues with counterfeit badges? Because it's paper.
No, I think we've been very good about that. I think for the most part, you know, there's... I think what people don't realize is we do random checks on a lot of badges.
And okay.
People oftentimes... I mean, besides security looking at badges, there's also random checks. And a lot of attendees don't necessarily realize that. But there are those attendees who have been stopped, and, you know, I heard of one incident this weekend where you know, somebody was caught using a badge that wasn't theirs.
And another really quick question that came up with me when I was going to panels, because panels tend to take longer, and we do have 15-minute breaks in between. What if we made it a 20-minute break instead? I know it will eat up panels of the programming block, but maybe that could help, maybe?
Well, I think, I mean, you could conceivably do that. You could also clear the panels. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff that you can do. I think what we try to do is try to fit as much panels into the day as we can. WonderCon is only 2.5 days, you know, mm-hmm. Friday afternoon, Saturday, and Sunday ends at 5. So I think you can do that. Every 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes you add to the time between panels takes away from the rest of the day, obviously. So, you know, we haven't had a lot of outcry for longer breaks between them. But also, you know, there's a lot that goes on during the course of the show. We get a lot of very cool programming that we want to accommodate. And sometimes panels do go a little bit longer. I remember with the Eisners years ago, somebody, a reporter had asked me, and not being mean or anything, but said, you know, the Eisners go so long, you have so many different categories, there's some categories that you might be able to cut. And it's like, well, those categories are important because those people, you know, deserve to get recognized for what it is they do. And, you know, you may not be interested in every category that has an award, but it is important to the industry and it's important to those recipients. I kind of feel the same way about programming. It's like, you know, the program may go a little bit longer, but it's usually because there's people asking questions or they're on a roll, and sadly, you know, they don't have, you know, a whole afternoon to be able to. They just have this one block of time. So I think it's working right now, but if there ever ends up being an issue, we'll certainly review it, as we do with all things. As you know, after the show, we do a little recap to make sure that what works, what didn't can be improved, and how to make it all work better for the following show.
Yeah, and you have programming the last throughout the night now, which is a very Comic-Con thing to do, and I kind of like seeing that here at WonderCon as well.
Yeah, you know, it was something that, and I think it went very well, and I think we'll, you know, try to continue that, but it's a lot of fun to be able to have stuff to do at night.
Absolutely. Speaking of panels, now, I know there's a rule regarding, like, using curse words and whatnot, because there are kids present. Now, how strict are those rules, especially when they're promoting rated R material?
Well, typically rated R, like any broadcast having to do with rated R, typically is later at night. But, you know, everybody is told, you know, please be aware of the audience, et cetera. There is, you know, it's, as you know, it's impossible to, you can't jump on stage and pull someone's mic off if they end up using a curse word. We don't have a delay.
Right.
But, you know, I think for the most part, people adhere to that rule. If there are repeat offenders, then, you know, if they want to come back, they're probably going to be put late at night.
Okay.
Or something like that. But for the most part, I think, you know, is it a perfect world? No, but it's not a perfect world also. So
you could always do the PG-13 rule. You get one curse word.
Well, but the thing is then, you know, then what happens then? I mean, everybody, you know, you have five panelists on a panel. One person slips up and then all of a sudden everybody suffers, including the audience. So you have to be very cognizant of that, too.
But we do have colorful guests.
Yes.
Yahtzee for Hollywood is potentially going on strike this year. Potentially. Hopefully not. Is this something of concern? Considering the fact that, yeah, they are part of the creative staff, but they're the technical side. Is that something that will actually affect the creatives showing up here? Do you know anything about that?
So I think one of the things, especially with the strike last year that coincided, that overlapped with Comic-Con, I think there were a lot of misunderstandings. I know that some entities had said, you know, oh, you know, somebody may end up picketing Comic-Con and stuff. And I don't think people understand necessarily how unions work.
Yeah.
Comic-Con, and I don't know any convention organization that is a signatory to any of the unions. There's no reason for that. I don't think we'd be allowed to, even if we wanted to. Not that we do, but, you know, we don't create entertainment projects like film and television and things like that. So when that started coming up, people were like, you know, well, what happens if they start picketing the show? Well, that would be like picketing striking against the studio, but picketing at McDonald's because everybody goes there to eat. That makes no sense.
Right.
As far as creative staff not being able to attend the show, you know, with the unions last year, it really was celebrities could attend the event. They just couldn't promote struck work.
Right.
Which makes perfect sense. So we had celebrities, we had, you know, people from the creative fields and all that, but they talked about things that were not struck work. So there's plenty to do and plenty going on at the conventions that, you know, look, we'd love for everybody to attend, who would like to attend, who can attend, but it's a real world and we understand that. And sometimes, you know, some entities and individuals aren't able to. But, you know, hopefully they'll be able to come back next show if this does end up happening. But yeah, there's a lot that's going on, and I think we'll be okay. It'd be better if, you know, everybody who wants to attend can attend, but again, you know, we're realistic enough to realize that's not always going to be the case.
True. Has there been programming already set up for Comic-Con, or is that still growing?
There are things that happen very, very early on.
Okay.
But, you know, program submissions I believe start to get accepted in April. But, you know, we deal with a lot of different companies throughout the year. Nothing is set in stone, but there's always interest or people, you know, giving us a heads up. So we're always aware of stuff because you kind of have to be sometimes. But nothing is chiseled out until we get closer to the show.
Sounds good. Somebody suggested poncho merchandise.
This year certainly would have been smart, huh?
Right.
Unfortunately, yeah. You know, the problem with merchandise is something that, you know, I've learned as become more involved in that, is there's a long lead time on some of that.
Okay.
There's the design process, there's the approval process, there's the redesign process and the reapproval process, and then there's the order, the shipment, the creation of the shipment, and then, you know, sometimes this stuff can take 6 months or more. I don't know that we've ever had a rainy day at WonderCon, or if we had, it's been very light.
Yeah.
But I will tell you something. We saw some people around here who brought ponchos from one person had been to the Wild Animal Park in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
And they had done this overnight camping thing that the park allows you to do. But it was going to rain the next day, so they gave everybody ponchos. But when they woke up in the morning after their camping experience, it was a sunny day. But he pulled out his poncho. He brought it here, and he got good use out of it. So
yeah.
Maybe in the future we'll have something that people can keep. And they may not use it every year, but maybe they can, you know, pack it just in case.
I still love the fact that you guys are still doing baseball jerseys, and I say we continue doing that.
Well, good. I appreciate that. I think, you know, they're popular. I think, you know, one of the things I think that some people don't realize is, and we've talked about this before, I believe, you know, oftentimes people who haven't been to a convention don't realize that you can be a comic book fan and also a fan of movies, or be a movie fan and a fan of music, or, you know, be a comic book fan and a fan of sports and all. There's a lot of crossover. Mm-hmm. And I think with Fanatics, the people that we've teamed with for merchandise, they have a huge sports market.
All right.
And, you know, I think their thing is, hey, you know, I think these jerseys will do well. Some of the jerseys are very cool. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you like them. And for the time being, anyway, I think we're going to continue doing that.
Well, in that case, personal request, a woven football jersey.
So I have to be honest with you. I will bring that up. And I will also let you know that some of us have been kind of advocating for a little more of the high-end hockey jerseys.
Oh,
yeah, okay. The problem with that is the price point really is very expensive, and sometimes that's almost cost prohibitive. But
right.
But you know, I will certainly pass that up.
All right, Easter weekend for the foreseeable future, is WonderCon going to come back to the Easter weekend?
So we're really at the discretion of the facility. Mm-hmm. So what happens is the facility typically, you know, you have dates that you would like. And the facility lets you know what dates they have available. And then you can be penciled in for certain dates. You can be challenged on a date. There's a whole bunch that goes into that. We don't necessarily pick the weekend.
Right.
We're given a selection, and we try to pick the weekend that makes the most amount of sense. So as an example, I'm not saying that happened this year, but you could be at a facility, and they'll say, oh, you want to be in the spring, or you want to be in the first quarter of the year, okay, we can give you January 5th, or we can give you March 29th. Well, for us, we'd say, well, we're going to go with March 29th because it's more in line with the time period that we're used to. I'm not saying that happened this year, but it's the facility's job is, of course, to book people in. So Anaheim is a very popular facility. Mm-hmm. So there's always people who want certain weekends and stuff. And you know, we take the best that we possibly can get. And I have to be honest with you. You know, we've been on Easter before.
Yes.
I think people have been pretty amenable. I think, you know, is it ideal? Not necessarily. But I think, you know, we're making it work as best we can. In the future, next year will not be on Easter.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Past that, I'm not exactly sure how that will plan out. I don't think it's on Easter anyway. I'm almost positive it's not. I don't have it in front of me.
We'll look at the calendar later.
Yeah.
last thing on my list here is, as you know, I normally go to the WonderCon talkback as well as the Comic-Con talkback. But this year, you have minor complaint on my personal behalf. You have like another panel counter-programming to the talkback where they're showing dogs in Hollywood and whatnot. They're doing a live demonstration of dogs. The dog is going to do a live demonstration. As a dog lover, how dare you make the choice between a dog panel or talkback?
You know what? I'm right there with you. You know, when we first started doing talkback, we had a lot of people who literally thought that our programming was like, did you deliberately, plan a panel of like DC against Marvel or so? And we're like, well, no. Why would we do that? And the reality is, it is, and I've said this before, it's kind of like a Rubik's Cube.
Right.
There are any number of people on a panel, and when somebody says, hey, I'd like to do a panel, we're like, okay, great. You know, these are the days that we have available. Or they will tell us, I'm only available at this day, at this time. There are actually panels that we have to turn down because we don't have an open space at that time. Mm-hmm. So I imagine the counter programming has more to do with the fact that when their availability was and our availability in terms of schedule, and less about deliberately trying to do counter programming. But I have to tell you, I love dogs too, and I love cats. If there was a cat panel opposite TalkBack, I might not show up to TalkBack.
Well, I'm really hoping for a really short TalkBack so I can rush to the dog panel.
Well, hopefully, you know, hopefully we'll be a fairly, you know, I think, I don't know if you were at Comic-Con this year.
Yes.
But the TalkBack was, I think, was like 29
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, it was really quickly. Surprisingly short. Yeah.
Yeah. So nice. hopefully there won't be a lot of complaints this year.
Yeah, and I said, this is a very smooth show. Maybe one question, people, and let's go see dogs.
Okay, good.
And now for our last question, final question. I know you weren't able to watch Godzilla X Kong, which is out right now in theaters. Are you a fan of Godzilla or King Kong at all?
How can you not be a fan of both, right? I mean, So I lived in Japan when I was very young.
Okay.
For a few years. And I love Godzilla. I love King Kong. I love King Kong because I'm a huge movie fan. I love King Kong from the old movies and whatnot.
Okay.
But Godzilla, you know, I mean, how can you not love Godzilla, right? I mean, he's a monster, quote unquote, but, you know, he's, especially the old films, you know, he's cute and he's good and yeah. He's, how can you not love Godzilla? And, you know, from living in Japan, I love Ultraman. I love, oh God, so much coming back to me now. Speed Racer. I remember Kimba the White Lion, which I don't know if it ever played in the United States.
It did.
But did it?
Yeah.
There was just, when I see those, that you know, I like them not just for what they are, but also they bring back a lot of really great memories. And so, but I, you know, I'll see anything with Godzilla.
Did you get a chance to see Godzilla Minus One?
I haven't. And in fact, I think when, after Comic-Con, I'm really trying to, I haven't seen very many movies at all, to be honest.
Of course,
with.
Yeah. Understand.
And I think after Comic-Con, I am going to take some time and literally just spend it catching up on a lot of pop culture that I haven't been able to. And I, you know, I want to do that because I love it anyway, mm-hmm. but I'm trying to use the excuse also by saying, well, it should be part of my job. So, you know, I don't have to feel guilty about sitting in front of the TV or in a movie theater for hours on end.
Besides, it's a really good movie.
Yeah, that's what I hear. That's yeah. what I hear. And then, of course, you know, my friends are very sweet because they won't talk. They won't give me, you know, spoilers. So they don't talk about that around me. But so, yeah, but I definitely will catch up on that.
As far as Godzilla X Kong, which is up here right now, it's mostly a King Kong movie than a Godzilla movie. He
yeah.
is in it. And he plays a major role in the movie. But
yeah.
it's mostly a Kong movie.
But is it fun? Is it good?
I quite enjoyed it, actually.
Good.
And the motion capture for King Kong is phenomenal this
really?
Time around.
Well, technology is just yeah. remarkable, isn't it? Remember
yeah.
when Jurassic Park first happened? It was like,
oh,
look
yeah.
at that, you know?
Yeah.
And the technology is just leaps and bounds. It's incredible.
Is that the point now where you can't tell it's
yeah,
CG
yeah.
or not?
Well, did you see Masters of the Air? Is that what it's called? It was a...
Oh, the one on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
I had not get a chance to see that yet.
Well, my understanding is a lot of that was, you know, digital, a lot of that was green screen and whatnot. And it was very, very seamless. It was just incredible. The technology is just remarkable. You see stuff and it's just, it's great. For filmmaking, it's just remarkable.
They didn't go for the Top Gun Maverick. You're actually flying a plane, guys.
And I will tell you, and I saw Top Gun Maverick, and I loved that, too. It was very, very, very cool. You know, apparently in Anaheim, there is a air simulator type thing somewhere around
Did they
here.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably true, but...
Yeah. I won't have time to take part in that. I probably wouldn't want to anyway, because I'd just be screaming and crashing all the time, but...
Simulators,
that's true. Yeah, exactly.
All right, David, once again, thank you for always being on our show every year.
My pleasure. It isn't WonderCon without your interview, so thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Until Comic-Con. And now we're back. Now, I'm not sure if you guys noticed it through the edit, but when I was recording with David, the recorder turned off. I lost about 3 minutes of the conversation. So apologies about that. Maybe you noticed, maybe you didn't. But yeah, that was good. And now I have here Derek from the Geekdom Fancast. Derek,
hi.
Welcome back to the show.
Hello, you fanboys and fangirls.
Our annual recording of WonderCon Comic-Con. So yeah, straight out. What did you think about this year's WonderCon?
you know what? I have such better things to say about this year than last year. Mm-hmm. Not that last year was an abomination or anything, but I don't know if I can give credit necessarily to the convention. I think that just how maybe I preferred things this year, but I found a lot more things to do and a lot more things to – I found a lot more things to see and do. As you, per your motto.
You found a lot more things to see and do.
Yeah. Like, because, like, you know, last year it was just a lot of stuff that I just didn't care about. It was – or stuff I wasn't interested in. That's just, you know, how direct – or program directing works. I'm sure, you know, it's how it is. But this year I was interested in the shows and movies that they brought. I didn't go to that many panels, but there was – more ones that I was even interested in that I would have tried to go to if I had more time. Like last year I was, you know, at a loss to even find stuff to fill my time with.
Okay. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, for me, oddly enough, that's my year this year, but at the same time, it's kind of chill because I wasn't in a hurry to do anything. Mm-hmm. I was just like roaming the floor, spending all my money. I swear, I think I broke my record in how much I spent for a freaking convention.
And really?
It's ridiculous.
Over a San Diego is always the one that usually breaks people.
Yes, but I think San Diego is so hectic, I don't really have time to actually shop. And then since it was so chill, like I told David, cool vibes here at the WonderCon. Very chill, very relaxed, very easy to spend your money. And there were so many Filipino boots here and so many Jollibee product stuff. I'm like, I gotta have that.
Jollibee got you.
Yeah, what really got me, if you listeners remember, I did a New Year's resolution of not buying any more graphic tees for the year, right? Well.
You broke it.
I broke it. Of course. It had to be WonderCon.
3 months in and you already broke it.
Well, I mean, to be fair, 3 months is pretty good, okay?
Out of 12?
I see, I'm pretty sure I do better than most
people. Well, okay, we'll try to work with you here. How many did you break it by?
Oh, I mean the shirts?
Yes.
Okay, well.
If you only got one.
If I remember correctly how it went out. So I walked in the show floor, didn't buy a single thing yet. I think the only thing I bought at that particular moment was like a gelato food, essentially.
Food doesn't count.
It doesn't count. Then I went to the booth that I always go to every year, which I guess was a mistake because I know I always buy from them every year. They had a dragon shirt. Being the year of the dragon, being myself a year of a dragon, that's something that I would want.
Oh, boy.
And then sure enough, like, oh, that's a nice design. I'm a year of the dragon. I think I'm going
to
go ahead.
It can't be that easy to get you, really?
Well, it was a cool design. I've seen dragon shirts and I've ignored them, but this one, I'm like, I kind of want that. You know? And it was actually a little misleading, I will say that. Because,
okay.
Because when I got it, I realized that the design I was looking at is in the back of my shirt. Right? In the front, it was like a different design. You think if I only saw the front design in the front, I probably would have passed it. But the design in the back was hella cool. Mm-hmm. Right? And I wanted that in the front. But besides the point, I did buy it. I also bought, while I'm at it, I'm like, well, I already bought one, I must have bought another one. So I bought also his Corgi and Stilts thing, which is a very cute shirt. So okay. I got that one. So I got that too. I even told him that yeah, I always happen to buy something from you every year.
Oh, really?
I even told him my New Year's resolution.
And so
I told
you were already in trouble already.
Yeah, and I told him, like, I think you're going to make me break it right now. And since I was on a roll, I went over to the Vicious booth. And they had more Jollibee stuff compared to last year. Last year, they had one Jollibee shirt, and I bought that. I wear that in public, and people ask me, oh, where'd you get that shirt? And then this year, I went back again, and they have like, oh, yeah, we have more stuff now. Like, oh, no. Right? So they had multiple Jollibee-related shirts, and I bought two of them. So I have three total Jollibee shirts from the same booth, right? And I also got pins. And I bought like tote bags from them.
But see, that wasn't breaking the resolution. We're talking about the resolution. So you broke it by three.
I broke it by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shirts.
Oh, yeah, it's a pretty big break.
I'm trying to think now if there was a sixth one from another boot.
You might find it later.
I might find it later. I last night I went ahead and tossed them all in the hamper. So
at least you broke it well. Then if you're gonna do it, I guess might as well
go for broke.
Right? Might as well demolish the resolution.
Yeah, that's true. But like I said, I bought a bunch of pins as well. And
well, no, but we were just talking about the resolution.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
you could have totally bought anything else.
But what I'll tell you next kind of overshadows that at this point, right? So I bought a bunch of pins, and I bought more pins, and I bought even more pins. For some reason, pins seems to be my thing this year. right? And a lot of them were Filipino related, like Jollibee pins here, peach mango pie here, you know. And then afterwards, I even told Anna, like, hey, I'm like past $500 in the first day.
Wow.
Right. So I was like, I should slow down.
Dude, that's like me in like 2012 or 2010 or something. That's when I would just throw money like all over the place.
Yeah. And I bought like the Lumpia boot had like an ube box kind
of
thing.
Did you buy the box set?
I bought the box set.
Oh, man. That thing was like $75.
Yeah. It was like out of, there's only 10 of them that they were selling.
No, I know.
I bought number five.
But they put a $75 price tag. I'm like, I'm out.
Well, there we go. Right. So I'm like, I guess I'm buying this. You know, and then I went to another booth, another Filipino booth, and they had illustrated books about Filipino historical legends.
Oh.
And I'm looking at that, it's like, this is pretty cool. I wouldn't mind having this on my shelf. I guess I'm buying it. And that's like $65, something like that, kind of thing, right? So that's what added up all the way to all the shirts, all the pins, you know, and all the stickers. But a lot of stickers this year.
Yeah, but it seems like these big proper purchases are always really getting you.
Yeah, and then the big purchases like added up to like over $500 on the first day, right? On the first day. So second day, mindset was like, I'm not going to spend that much more. Yeah. So bought more pins, you know. Didn't buy more shirts. I bought a second tote bag because the first one I bought, I'm like, I want to keep this but not use it.
Oh, you were telling me, yeah.
Yeah, so I went back and got the second one.
Throwback to anyone that was paying attention with the Anna donut purse. Yeah. Thing.
And then for Saturday, what saved me was that I actually had panels I wanted to go to. So all the time I'm in the panels, I didn't need to be downstairs to buy stuff. Mm-hmm. So that helped me.
Yes.
Right? So Saturday was pretty chill.
You and me both.
Yeah, but a lot of cosplay. And by the way, compared to Friday, which like I was walking the show floor with our friend Wilt, and next thing I know, it's 5 o'clock. And then I realized, wait, I've been standing for like 6 hours straight walking around. Like for 6 hours straight, practically. And the only reprieve I had was when I was eating gelato and I sat down for that. Mm-hmm. But besides that, I was walking 6 hours straight. My legs were like lead by the end of the day. You know, and they still kind of feel. So Saturday, going to panels kind of helped me because of that way, you know, it's like
sitting.
Yeah. And the panels were great. The directors and director's thing was fantastic. It was an amazing panel. The next one after that was.
Did anyone run to the bathroom?
And then we did the Boy Kills World kind of thing. Oh, funny note on the Saturday one, Anna saw Famke Janssen. At least she said it to me, and I'm like, no, it can't be her. Derek said she wasn't gonna be here, right? So I'm like, no, I'm sure it's her. Like, well, we'll follow her anyway. We'll see because it looked like she had a handler. It looked like a celebrity,
right?
You know, and then she turned her head and like. It's Michael Jackson. It's all walking a little faster kind of thing. But when we got to her, of course, no pictures from the handler. Like, oh, if you want to see her, go to the panel.
Of course.
Right, so we're going to the panel. Also, side note, on the same day, earlier that day, we hit a button that will get us something for Boy Kills World, which is, by the way, a property that I've never heard of prior to this, right? And I didn't even know what we were pressing the button for. They just gave us a wristband and they said, come back at 5. And then... buttoning off it, and apparently
they didn't even bother to tell you guys what it was for.
They said something, but I wasn't really
paying attention.
All I got was 5.
Fair
enough. And where is it, kind of thing. But yeah, it's apparently for a signing session, a meet and greet for the cast. No pictures allowed. Blah blah blah. Famke Janssen was not there.
Yep.
Which I wanted to meet the Old Spice guy, but he wasn't there either. Sam Raimi was not there either.
Jeez, Sam Raimi didn't even show up. Oh my god!
I didn't expect him to show up, but they did have what's his face, the guy from Stranger Things. The Russian guy. Well, it's not really Russian, but that guy from Stranger Things with the beard.
I don't watch it.
Okay. But they had him there. They had the director there. I told the director, like, oh, the Stranger Things guy, he was wearing an Ozzy Osbourne shirt. So I talked Ozzy with him kind of thing. The director guy told him, you know, I was kind of jealous of seeing you on stage with all these legends next to you, right? And then... Jessica Rote was next to him. He's like, yeah, all those legends. And I'm like, that includes you. That's what I said, right? You know, and then when I got to her, I told her, like, I pretty much told her, like, ever since I saw you in Happy Death Day, like, you became instantly one of my favorites kind of thing. And I complimented her, like, people underestimate actors in these horror movie roles. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of, like, physical work and a lot of, like, screaming and a lot of, like, acting in terms of, like, different levels of acting in horror movies. And she really appreciated that, gave me a high five kind of thing. You know, so that was kind of sweet. Shout out to Copley, talked to him. Complimented him that he takes crazy roles and he should keep taking crazy roles because boring roles are boring kind of thing. But we got a poster and we got multiple posters. Huge poster. I think I posted it on, I will be posting it on Instagram. It's practically.
I think you already put it up.
Did I?
I think so. I think I saw it.
Oh, maybe I shared it with you.
We'll share it Anna's or whatever.
Oh, Anna did point it.
Yeah, I think you shared hers.
It's almost as tall as me, essentially.
Well, yeah, just a random note for the, because we are both veterans of Comic-Cons and stuff. The fact that they gave you guys essentially a 23 by 35 or 24 by 36 size poster at a signing is super rare these days. It's always like 11 by 17s. Like the fact that they gave you guys a full size is very like impressive.
Great quality too.
Yeah.
The paper was great quality.
Like that's, I could, when Anna showed me that, I was like, what?
Did not fit my poster tube though. Because it was so huge.
Because we don't have to plan for that anymore. No one does it anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I still don't plan for that, so go figure, kind of thing. But how about you? How was your first 2 days?
Well, I just wanted to make sure to tie a bow on where we're going. We both went to the Strangers panel that was after The Boy Kills World 1.
Yes, yes.
And going with horror and stuff, I think it looks pretty terrifying.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. Looks pretty good.
I mean, I don't know if it's, you know, everyone's got their whole thing, I don't get scared. Well, fine, you don't get scared. But, like, it looks enough of a creepy-ass movie of, you know, if you are a fan of the previous ones, then, you know, this one looks like it's going to follow the same formula or stuff and look equally terrible. But if not, I think if you take anything away from putting yourself with you and one other person in the middle of nowhere, and these people start trying to break into your cabin and try to kill you, and you're in the middle of nowhere by yourselves, like, if you don't find a way to find that absolutely terrifying, then, you know, you need to do the, put yourself in the situation, and it makes it almost immediately scary.
So. Yeah, I gotta give them compliments to the clips they did show.
Yeah,
they will cut out before the scare.
That's true.
Yeah. Right, so the tension they will show you the tension, and then the cut. Like whoa, like I want to see the rest of that. You know, kind of thing. Oh, speaking of clips,
yes.
Over the director's thing, they showed a clip from Abigail.
Okay.
Very brave of them to show that because it was pretty bloody.
Oh.
It was pretty bloody. I'm like, did they allow this? I mean, there were parts that they faded out, kind of like they blocked out some shots, but the rest of the ones that they didn't block were still pretty bloody. And you see Abigail like stabbing the guy, and I'm like, and it's kind of cut off the screen a little bit, so you can't really see it, but you know what she's doing. And I'm like, they allowed this at Comic-Con? You know, it's like, what? They also showed...
I guess they're just hoping there's no little children in the audience.
Yeah, I guess so. And they were showed the new Planet of the Apes movie.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have any opinion about before this, but the clip they showed looks great.
I've been enjoying all of them, so I'm really excited for it. I think it's a great series.
And then the Fall Guy, they showed the Fall Guy stuff, and that looked great too. We're looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, see, that's the one I'm out on that one. I just
all right.
I mean, I'm not. I like I said, I'm definitely not trying to say it's a bad movie without seeing it, but it looks a little ridiculous to me. That's all.
Well, one thing they did cue in is that because it is about a stuntman, almost all the action sequences are done physically and without CG.
Okay.
The only CG they said that they probably used is to like take out the wires, take out the cranes kind of thing. But for the most part, Ryan Gosling was doing some stunt work, you know.
Okay. Well, we give props to him at least.
Though. Yeah. And then also going back to Abigail, they shared a story about how the actress who played Abigail actually did a lot of her own stunts because the stunt people that they had to replace her, theoretically, they said, actually, the actress is actually doing a better job at that. So they let her do a lot of the stunt work.
Uh-huh.
And that's interesting. I'm really looking forward. And I found out when I was Googling, like, who is this girl? And she was the girl who played Matilda in the Netflix Matilda movie. And she was fantastic in that one. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to Abigail now. What else?
Well, I just want to put a pin on the Strangers one that I'm a really, really, really big fan of Madeline Pesch.
Yes.
And I'm excited to see her do something past Cheryl Blossom. I think she, you know, did a great job on with her character on Riverdale, but it's still like, you know, she's pretty much been stuck on that show for like 6-7 seasons. So I'm really excited to see her do something else. And from what we've seen so far, it looks like she's going to probably do amazing. And in case, just because I've talked to people randomly over the last couple of days, for those that in case don't know that it's a trilogy. So it's not just The Strangers Chapter 1 and that's it. Like, we're getting three of these.
Yep. Chapter 2 later this year and presumably Chapter 3 early next year. That's what they implied. In terms of the show floor, did you see anything cool that you want to share? I mean, it's mostly just merch and stuff.
I can't think of any really cool exhibits or anything.
There's only really one that you can really say was a quote-unquote exhibit, which is the one for promoting that one book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was like the only people that really showed up to do anything interesting.
Elaborate.
Yeah. Kind of thing. I wanted to do...
the Last Lemurian, I think it was called? Lemuria?
Yeah. I just realized I forgot. I'm saying this out loud, whatever. I wanted us to do... Did you see that Star Trek Captain's Chair one?
I did see that, but that's here every year, though.
I know, but I wanted us to do it together, and I forgot. I forgot to mention it to you.
Well, in Comic-Con, yeah. Or the next WonderCon, or the next Comic-Con, because it's always here.
I know, but it's one of those, like, it was totally dead, and there was no line or anything, so we could have...
that would have been it.
Yeah, it would have been easy for us to do it, and I totally spaced it, and I kept... When I was getting here today, too, I was like, oh, I got to tell Albert, we got to do that, and then, of course, I forgot.
Yeah, that's the thing about WonderCon. It's like, it's the perfect crowd in terms of, like, not too busy, but not too dead either. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a nice, good balance, and it's... so relaxing.
Well, see, last year for me was so dead, but like, you know, whatever. Like I said, you said for this year it was deader for you. So I don't know, because you. So I went to the stream.
No, but I wouldn't call it dead.
Okay.
I would say like it wasn't super eventful.
Okay.
But I had lots of things to do anyway.
Uh huh.
You know, so it was like the fact that I wasn't on a schedule like I normally am. Like I gotta go to panel here, go to panel there. Go to this booth.
We usually leave that to Greg.
Yeah. So there was a case of like relaxation for me. Like I know the panels I'm going to, and I'm not in a hurry, you know, and I'm going to more booths because I'm not in a hurry. You know, it's that kind of feeling.
Yesterday wasn't too bad for me because I didn't have a panel to go to until 3:30 for the Strangers.
Right.
And then I just went to I just had a Hasbro thing I had to go to at the end of the day. So that was it. But today, so there was the Halo Halo panel for Filipino Voices, they call it? I think they call it Filipino Voices in Entertainment.
I believe I was doing my interview at the time.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, so I went to that at 11. And then, was it David? I'm blanking on the other one. Well, I did go. If anything, I went to David Mack at 1:30.
Oh, I heard that's a good panel.
He was, I think he's like, the more and more I keep getting to know him, he is a fascinating human being. And if people do not know him or anything, he created Echo. He's done, he did work on Daredevil. He's done he does a lot of cover work. He's a great artist. But to find out that he's also a music video director, he does work for the State Department. Like, the guy has like way more than just comic book guy. Like, he does so much more. So, and to let him get up there, and he was telling all the, and he wasn't just answering like these brief pictures. He was giving really good embellishments on situations for, you know, when he, like I said, his work with the State Department and doing these music videos and stuff. And he gave these great stories. So it was really good to, hear him talk about his life like that and stuff. But yeah, so I hit those two panels today, and then I hit, you know, the two, I went to Resident Alien yesterday after the Strangers. So, in the encompassment of, okay, you did two panels and two, you know, each day, big deal. But like, I'm saying in the sense of like last year, I don't think I did any. I think maybe I did one panel all of last year. So
I think I did more panels last year than this year, actually.
Yeah. But well, we're both having different, but I'm saying for me, the fact that I even had two or three or whatever a day is like, and there's ones I missed, not because I didn't want to go, but because I just time I couldn't go. But there was one that was a spotlight of Marv Wolfman I wanted to go to. Patrick Ballastaro.
I've been to that one in the previous year, and that's usually pretty fascinating.
I think he's a great writer. Patrick Ballastaro's had two, who's an artist, in case you don't know, who's I'm a huge fan of. He had two panels. So, like, there was... Last year, I was struggling to find panels to go. This year, I had to, like, turn stuff down or not go to stuff because I ran out of time. I always like to hit a lot of the small comic book publishers. I keep meeting more and knowing more every year. So this year, when Sunday came, I lost Friday because I got here too late. And then Saturday, I was just busy running around doing, you know, so many things that when Sunday came, I'm like, okay, I'll just hit all the small publishers, right? Man, you just don't realize. And I guess you could think of, you know, of course it's going to take a lot of time, but like you go in like 15, 20 minutes at this booth, 15, 20 minutes at this booth. And before you know it, it's like 4 o'clock and you're like, I still haven't talked to this many, you know, it's
that's how it was for me on Friday.
Yeah.
Like just time flew by. I'm like, whoa, it's already 5 o'clock. What the heck?
If I would have had Friday, I probably would have been a lot better off. But long story short, I got here really late. Reasons aren't important, but it's like, so it really helps to, it's funny because like sometimes you think, oh, I have plenty of time. And then when it comes to down to it, you're like, I don't know, I'm out of time.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And speaking of getting here,
yes.
normally I will park across the street where Disneyland parking is at and just walk across. But this year I decided I'm going to park right next to the structure because of rain. Rain actually wasn't too much of an issue. It came and went. It was almost like shattered.
So yesterday it was. Today wasn't that bad.
Well, today was also scattered shower. Like if you came at a certain time like Jia Ming did, you were rained on. Yeah. You know, so it was kind of like scattered shower.
Yesterday I got stuck in it, so.
But the funny thing is that every time I went from my car to the structure, it was not raining.
Oh.
Right? Like I will. It would
rain. Good timing you, huh?
Yeah, it would be raining. I'll park. I step out. Not raining. You know, and then not only that, but that was for Sunday. For Friday and Saturday, I parked in the back of the structure, but there's a bridge that goes straight to the hallway, to Hall D. They had a sign that says authorized parking only, or authorized people only. I came in as press, showed the badge, and the guy just flagged me through. And like,
there you go.
Yes. You know, it was like the closest parking I've ever had in a convention, yeah. Ever. You know, so, but I didn't do that for today, Sunday, as we're recording this, because the shortcut goes away when 5 o'clock closes, and I'm not inside anymore. Obviously. But we are in the hallway at the North Building of WonderCon, and we're just waiting for one of the people to show, hey, you guys are supposed to leave now. But hasn't happened yet. But anyways.
I think as long as we're at the – it seems like maybe as long as we're at the exhibit hall, they don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the exhibit hall that they care that you're gone, yeah. By 5. Maybe in the convention itself, there's a little bit of a leeway.
Yeah.
Sunday. So speaking of Sunday, I came in like around 9:30-ish. 9:45, I was pretty much like just waiting it out. But as I was walking towards the wait out line kind of thing, the doors kind of opened up. And the guy's like, hey guys, we've been authorized to go in and open the doors right now. You can come in now if you'd like.
Oh, so you got in 15 minutes earlier?
I came in 15 minutes earlier. They opened like 15 minutes earlier. And I was just, I happened to be there when they opened the door. I'm like, oh, score kind of thing. And then walked around like normal, went to this booth, ended up buying a $530 console. Yes, it is. I think it was called Grandfather's Console, something like that. And yes, listeners, it is a bootleg console, as you've seen in ROMs and whatnot. But it has like all these games from my childhood, and I'm like, you know what? I'm getting it, because in the back of my head, I'm like, technically, yes, I could go to the PC, I could do all the work to get all those games on my own for free if I really wanted to, but. This saves me a lot of time. And it was just sitting right there. It's in a nice little package shaped like a PlayStation. It came with extra controllers. And I'm like, it has all these games that I own at home, but I don't really play anymore. But I would like to keep it.
So they're like cartridges or?
No, it's just one box.
Oh.
And all the games are digital. And they're all in this one box. And
okay. Because are they games from like the 80s, 90s?
70s, 80s, 90s.
Wow.
And some 2000s.
Okay.
And Dreamcast was on it.
Oh, wow.
And that was the selling point. Like, I could have gone with, like, the whole Genesis NES thing. Like, oh, I have a lot of the ROMs at home, you know, and I have a lot of access at home. But that box has Dreamcast and PlayStation on it? I'm like, okay, this is a lot more tempting now, you know, especially the Dreamcast part. Because I still have my Dreamcast hooked up to my TV, right? And now I have a reason to remove it, I guess, and put it in storage. And
your Dreamcast still works?
My Dreamcast still works, guys. That's right. It still works. But, you know, as optical devices go, they do break down.
Yeah.
The less you use them, the better. But at the same time, you're not using it, so what's the point? But digital is forever, in a sense, unless you delete it. So, yeah. So, final tally? Plus, someday I bought a few more pins.
More pins?
And I bought like a few more little things. I think I spent at least $1,200 at WonderCon this year.
I don't think I've spent that much since I was in my 20s.
I agree. The last time I spent that much was like San Diego Comic Con, maybe in the early 2000s.
Yeah, like I used to go hog wild on like books and art and everything. And I just spend money like freaking I was... Scrooge McDuck, you know, but
yeah.
Now when you become an adult, you gotta reel it in.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, so the lesson for me here is schedule more panels, because if I'm in the panel, I'm not downstairs buying stuff.
to which Greg is laughing at us right now. See, guys, this is how I do it. See, I just stay in panels, so I don't panels, spend
panels,
money.
Panels, yeah, because it's like I would normally walk the show floor. Like every aisle, I'll go through it.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to tell me. You're like, I already did the whole floor.
Yeah, I did the whole floor. Yeah. But the thing is that normally I'll go in a rush. Like, okay, I see that. But I'm also thinking like I have a panel to go to in 2 hours, whatever, right? So I will literally not buy anything as an excuse of like, I'm going somewhere else kind of thing. And I need to finish this. But because I had time, oh my God, spent so much. So yeah, for Sunday, I already spent almost $600 in the first 8 minutes.
Well, yeah, that console did you
in. The first 8 minutes of the show floor opening up. And it was because of that one item, yes. But at the same time, I'm nuts. So so crazy.
There goes
all my tax refund.
I'm in no way trying to top that. But
oh, please don't.
Well, this, no, but it's just that, yeah, for like, but if you think of like the scenes, so I went to David Mack, you know, to buy, because I always try to purchase for him because I like him so much as a person and I like to support him. But he had these variant cover comic books. One was a Turtles number one.
Ooh, nice.
And then one was, oh, I'm forgetting what it is right now, actually. But anyways, it was two variant covers he did. It was Archie Comics or something. Yeah, it was
okay.
Yeah, it was weird, but it was like this really cool blue cover with a girl and stuff. It was he uses his girlfriend as his model for a lot of. So if you ever see his covers with a girl, it's most likely his girlfriend that he uses for a model. But
that's like an Alex Ross thing.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, Alex Ross's paintings, I guess, are actually like people posing for them.
Oh, okay, yeah. That makes a lot of sense for us. But so for comic book wise, they were $40 each.
Well, for I mean, two you're books. Looking at a guy who spent like $75 for a box set of something.
I know, I'm just saying, but I spent $80 on two books.
You know, I actually would have spent under $100 on comic books because I was looking at the very last 20 minutes of the show floor. I'm like, okay, if I find this boot that has the three Invincible compendiums for $100 for all three, and that's like at least $128 on Amazon,
yeah,
I would buy it. Never found the boot. Wow. It's either they packed up early, or I just couldn't find the boot.
I've done that many times.
Yeah, so I guess that's like exhibit hall going, hey, Albert, you spent enough already.
I can't tell you the amount of times that I've walked, especially at San Diego, where I've walked by a booth and I see something that I really like. And I'm like, oh, I got to come back to that. And I even like try to like look at the aisle number. Okay, it's in this. And then, you know, 2 days later or whatever. And then like 2 days later, it's like, oh, where was that again? And then you forget.
Yeah. There was an item that I was supposed to buy for a friend. I was a little concerned I wouldn't be able to find the boot in 20 minutes, but I was able to find it, so that's good.
Oh, hey.
There was also a raffle that I was part of, and I did not win, and they were giving out, like, not really credit, but, like, coupons, like $100 coupon, $50, $20, whatever, for their boot and for their website, right? But one of the top prices that they had, or as a choice, is this big, giant slab of meat pillow. It's a giant pillow shaped like a slab of cow meat.
Is it the ones where they're hanging?
Yes, that's the one.
Oh, they were at LA Comic Con.
Yeah, so if you
get the girls dressed like butchers?
Yes, correct. Yep. So if you get a raffle, you have a choice between the price money or the slab of meat, which by the way is $150.
Those pillows are $150?
Those pillows are $150, wow. Right? So in my head, I'm thinking like, well, get the pillow, then sell it for like $100, mm-hmm. and you got yourself $100.
Yeah.
Right? And I was saying this as one of the people who worked there heard me. But I didn't win anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
That's funny that they were here. I didn't even see them.
Yeah, the funny thing is that I think if I did win the raffle, because they had like multiple raffles.
Okay.
Like there wasn't just one winner. It was multiple, like maybe like 10 winners or whatever. Mm-hmm. And no, more than 10. And the reason why I say that is because there's one person who won seven times. And
it's seven times?
Yeah, she always had the raffle ticket. She had a lot of raffle tickets apparently.
Right? Did they give her seven? Like I wonder, did she keep coming
back?
At one point,
she had two of those giant pillows slab of meat. She won a third one, and she was willing to say, you can skip this because I already have two.
Something suspicious about what she was doing. I don't know.
No, it's just the fact that they need to shuffle the raffle even better.
Oh, yeah.
And what's funny, at one point, the guy goes, okay, we're gonna reshuffle the raffle. And then she won the next one.
And then somehow you didn't win? What the hell?
It was very close. I was 100. A lot. There was a lot of zero blank, so that wasn't me. But
yeah.
The closest that it got to me was like 103, and it just won as 098. Mm. So I was like off by two or three, but then it's a raffle, so yeah. Whatever, right? And I wouldn't know what to do with the giant pillow, and I don't know if I was gonna buy anything if I won the prize money. So
yeah,
it's fine. It's fine.
You're like, it's fine.
It's an experience. And another thing that I noticed in the exhibit hall, there's several booths with the spinning the wheel thing.
I did see a lot of that.
And the price and the big prize is like a VIP trip to Comic Con, you know. So it seems like an easy way of them like spin the wheel kind of thing. There was also washi tape. I don't know why I never noticed it, or maybe it's a thing now. Lots of booths selling washi tape. You even know what a washi tape is?
No idea what that
washi
is.
Washi tape is like a small, kind of like scotch tape with a design on it.
Oh, okay.
Either pictures or characters, drawings on it. And essentially, it's like for crafts and whatnot. A lot of boots selling washi tape. It's weird. I bought two of them to add to my $1,200 or whatever. But
what do you do with it?
It's tape. You do tape as tape.
And it just looks pretty?
Sure.
Okay.
I bought two of the ones that are with dog patterns on it. See?
That's very you.
See?
That's very
you. I gave it to my wife.
Of course.
but yeah. So, yeah. So my story. Oh, I do have one last story.
Okay.
On the interview, as listeners, you've heard, I was talking to David about like how could they schedule a panel about dogs, being I'm a dog lover, with the talkback, which is the WonderCon talkback that I always go to. And we did joke that hopefully it's a quick talkback because it's been a pretty smooth sailing WonderCon and I don't know anybody that will complain about anything. And for the record, there was only one complaint, and that was from a small press guy saying that not enough people went to the hall that has small press. In his opinion, I thought there was a good amount.
But how can you make people go?
Well, before Funko was there.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And then prior to that, the arena actually had events.
Yes.
So people had reason.
Traffic would walk through.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Now, the only reason that people would go to that small press area would be either A, you actually know small press that you want to go to, B, you want to go to the Comic-Con merch booth, which is at the small press area, or C, you want to meet those voice actors that had their booth at the small press area.
$7 a pop was right behind him, yeah.
Yeah, so those would be the only reason people would go there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, to be fair with them, out of the three different halls that they had, that seemed to be the least amount of people was in that hall.
Oh, I agree.
Right, so that was the only complaint in talkback. But like me and David were joking, well, hopefully the talkback is short. There was hardly any issues. There's no reason for it to be really long.
Yeah.
And then I can run straight to the dog panel, which is exactly what happened. Okay, so the talk back.
You were intent on making the dog panel.
You're right. I was, because I love dogs. And so the panel, the talk back did end early. It was like 20-something minutes.
Okay.
Longer than it should have been. Because the majority of the people going to the mic were just complimenting WonderCon for a smooth first. Yes, we get it. It's smooth. Can we move on? I want to go see dogs. And even at the very end, David, while he was on stage, David actually goes, okay, Albert, join the panel.
I'm just imagining you sitting there during this panel, like your legs like vibrating or your hands are like twitching and you're like, come on.
I wasn't doing that. I wasn't doing that.
You just see the look on your face. Okay, come on, let's hurry up. Let's go.
But in my head, I was going, can you please move it on, please? Move it on. Yes, compliments, yes. Okay, I agree.
I have to know that. What was the dog panel? They can't talk. Like, what was...
No, they had canine handlers talking about dogs in movies and TV. What they do. And believe me, I was only there for half an hour and it's probably one of the best panels I've been to. It's fantastic. The information that I learned from that 30 minutes that I was able to go there was great. You know, they talked about the dog from I Am Legend and how they pulled that off. They talk about like cadaver dogs that they have. Because there are things about dogs that I never knew was a thing until that panel. And they even had a dog there, right? And at one point, they had a dog speak to the mic. You know, it was kind of cute. You know, the thing I missed because I was late was apparently they had a demonstration with that canine dog. Uh-huh. So I missed that one.
Jeez.
So I'm not quite sure what...
Jeez.
Hopefully somebody posted it on YouTube so I can see it.
Most likely.
Yeah, but yeah, it was a fantastic panel. I'm glad I still made it. You know, great panel. Kind of wish I
can just see you going to them at the end because you guys have not done this at a better time.
Yeah.
Why didn't you do this on Saturday?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. You know, but I mean, maybe part of it too is that if anything happened with the dog, it's at the very last panel. You know, they have an easy exit. Right?
Yeah.
So
in case they got rambunctious.
You know, well, no, I mean, they're trained dogs. Come on. Give them some credit, Derek.
Sorry.
Yeah. But then that was it. And then cosplay.
Yes.
And then Derek, here I am. With Derek recording this and WonderCon 2024.
Just on a note, for it might seem obvious, but if you haven't been to WonderCon in Anaheim, or if maybe you're just not aware, so one of the biggest things for WonderCon is not only the cosplay. Like, there's, you know, we know there's tons of conventions, but at least in my opinion, I've talked to enough people that would agree that WonderCon is one of the probably biggest cosplay conventions. They might not be.
Never used to be true.
No, but I was saying, but like, you know, they might not be the biggest for TV and film and stuff like anymore, but they're like, their cosplay is huge here at this one. And one of the biggest things is they have a giant front patio area out here with a huge fountain at the convention center. and they do giant meetups. People get on the stairs and they use it to take pictures, and the whole fountain area, you know, outside court area, people, professional photographers set up with their light meters and stuff. There's the garden areas, and there's areas where people can go on the side and take pictures with models, and they do, you know, personal shoots and stuff. And the reason I'm mentioning all this is because it was raining for 2 days, and that put a severe damper on one of the biggest, I guess you could say attractions or biggest things about this convention is the cosplay and what they use it. And you totally eliminated that front part of the convention for a vast majority of it.
But?
I mean, what?
No, go ahead, but.
Oh, it went off and on, but like people would have to run out, then run back in, run back out. And it was like, you know, and it would, you know, people would set up in the lobby too and stuff, but the lobby is not enough room for that. And it's harder to encase all those people in there. So, it's, you know, the cosplay still happened, you know, it's not like it didn't happen, but, I think if anything, it really destroyed the meetups for the stereo area. People would do like all Star Wars or all Marvel, all DC, which they did use a side area, but it wasn't the same because they couldn't stack them on the stairs. They had to just spread them out from left to right, and it was really hard to take pictures of them because you have to zoom back so far, and they look like dots. You couldn't even, you'd have to zoom in to see the characters. So you know, it's not the end of the world, but it's just like it was a damper on something that is so fun about this convention.
Why didn't they go to Hall A? They had Hall A open for cosplayers. Hall A being the place with small press. See, that would have been.
That's where the arena entrance is, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's where they set up.
Oh, that is where they set
up. But I'm saying there's no stairs.
Oh, yeah,
so you would just get them from right to left, and you have like 100 people from right to left, and they just spread out. You know how hard it is to take a photo like that?
Yeah, that's true. No, that's true.
So, if you put them on the stairs, they all stack up, and you can layer them and stuff. And
but like I said, they fit. Luckily, rain was scattered rain.
Yeah.
You know, there would be times where it would be pouring for like an hour straight, but it does stop eventually. And then they'll rush outside, and then they'll take their pictures outside, and, side rain again. Run back in. Kind of thing. So, they made it work. I got to hand it to the cosplayers. They made it work anyway. So, as best as they could.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there we go, folks. Last words?
My last words, I just want to touch on a little bit what you were saying about, you know, especially because you know that I like to talk about a lot for our show here, and then you as well. The amount of small press Filipino-owned companies is growing and growing more, and I just want to give you know, – we've talked about it enough, but of course, Kid Hero Productions to do the Olympia movie, Cuento Comics, Dawada Comics. And then this year, I met a company called Dasig, which is also a Filipino-owned company. But that one, he said he did a comic book based on like the Spanish Filipino history of stuff of how they, you know, how bad and violent that was. And he said that he's always seen what he felt was kind of like a PG-rated version of how all that went down, and he never felt it was properly represented. So I told him, I said, so yours is pretty violent. He's like, yes. He's like, mine is very violent. So he kind of went the more R-rated version of history from that time of the culture. So I just want to, you know, throw all that out there to all those companies and stuff. And, you know, the AAPI is, you know, rising more every year.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But looking at my thing right now, and the battery is almost dead.
Oh.
Again. But yeah. That was your last words, right?
I'm good. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Let's see if we can finish it before the battery dies.
Yeah.
But there you go, folks. WonderCon 2024. Like I said, less panels that I went to, more spending, but it was chill. That was the key word here. It was a very chill WonderCon. It was fantastic. Absolutely. All right. So this is the part where I go. You can find this podcast on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Stuff Junk Show. And you can also find me, Albert, on Instagram and Threads at Albert5x5. Derek, where can people find you online?
I am at the Geekdom Fancast on Instagram and still that other one, Twitter/X.
Yeah.
fair enough. I'm getting on Threads eventually, someday. And find our podcast, the Geekdom Fancast, on all podcast apps and Apple Music and all that stuff.
Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Contact info, ways to support us, and everything else is on the show notes found on whowhatwheresway.com. Before wrapping this up, I just do want to say that, I think no, we're not doing that at all. This was... Albert, edit that.
First amateur YouTube, by the way.
This was episode 754 of the Stuff and Junk Show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this podcast has been a Who What Wears Why production. Oh, And normally at the end of the WonderCon and Comic-Con episode, I will share you guys a recording of them closing the show floor. But apparently, I didn't have the recorder turned on and I didn't capture that. So here we go, trying to replace that with this. Thank you for joining WonderCon 2024. We hope to see you again next year. I don't remember what the script was.
That's close enough, thank honestly. You.
And then people go, yeah, clap, 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 yeah. And scene.